Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I'm good. I'm a little tired after a busy weekend, but excited to be talking Ninja vs. Ninja. How are you? You have a busy week coming up.
I do. We're recording Sunday night because Lita had better things to do.
That's so rude.
On Friday and Saturday.
My best friend from college was visiting me in Pittsburgh, and I didn't want a podcast on her watch.
I think everyone can understand that Lita is revealing the hierarchy of friends that she has. Some people are more important than others.
It goes her and then all of the listeners. And then, no, I'm just kidding. Obviously, listeners are my favorite friends. They just didn't drive 5 hours to see me.
Maybe if there was anybody that asked for the previous Ninja versus Ninja podcast that didn't come out until Thursday or whenever, there would be more of a rush.
Yeah.
I think there was one person.
Listen, this is the spinoff. We've talked about the spinoffs are the casual podcast. It's the casual version.
Oh, yeah. Casual.
Yeah. It's all chill. We don't know the names of the teams or the people, and we don't release it on time, but.
Well, I do know the names of the people and the teams, so.
Okay, sure. You definitely never mix up people on the teams.
I just casually know everything, I think.
Okay, great. I'm just saying this is a little more of an informal setup, and I think people get that.
All right. Well, we are here to talk about episode 4 of Ninja versus Ninja, or the proper name, American Ninja Warrior, Ninja versus Ninja. Look at all these ninjas. Next time on Ninja versus Ninja, the Island Ninja, the other ninja, ninjas and ninjas, ninja ninja, ninja ninja ninja.
Yeah, when is there going to be a ninja ninja who... His job is like that they're actually a ninja, and their package is just like, yeah, I'm a ninja. Matt's like, they call him the ninja ninja.
It's due. Maybe I'll be the ninja ninja.
Is that your other job?
That'll be my shtick to get on the show.
No, you can't lie about your job.
I'm a podcaster. I can say whatever I want is my job.
That means that you get to lie about what you do?
Yeah, I think it does.
All right, I'm not sure that's what that means.
Most people don't think podcasting is a real job.
Okay, so that means that you can just make up any other job?
So I'm a podcaster. Pfft, no, you're not. You're right, I'm a ninja.
Okay, what if someone's just like, okay, cool, you're a podcaster. Then you that's don't true. Get to reveal that you're a ninja.
Matt Eisman does know my secret, so... Then we might be in trouble.
Yeah, he's your best friend. You can't lie to him.
He'll help sell me to the producers. He'll be like, no, this guy is a ninja, I promise.
He'll lie for you? That's a really good friend.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about this episode and the matchups here. We've got a new course that's not really new. I believe this is the one we saw in the first episode of Ninja vs. Ninja.
It really? I felt like the flying shelf grab was like really hard for this kind of course, but maybe we've seen it before and I just didn't think about it.
Almost definitely we have seen it before, but let me quickly go back in my notes.
But I thought you just casually knew everything.
I do casually. That's why I'm saying I'm going to quickly go to my notes and say, yes, we had the crisscross ring toss and the flying shelf grab. Wow. This is back in episode 1 where I ended up writing all of the obstacles down, all the way back now to episode 4. And I only write the two that change every episode. And those two are the crisscross ring toss and the flying shelf grab.
It's crazy that all your notes are like in the same document. That's probably a good idea.
I wouldn't say the same document so much as the same note program.
Yeah, but I make a separate note for every new episode, but your idea is probably
smarter.
You used
to handwrite them.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I have really beautiful handwriting.
I mean, there's something wrong with it. It's just...
Also, one time I had to watch...
It doesn't have anything to do with the handwriting.
I had to watch the 3-hour Ninja versus... I mean, USA versus the World special last year. I watched on a plane, so I had to do it with my hands. Because it was like on the little tray. And if I had my laptop open, I wouldn't have been able to see it on the TV on the back of the seat.
Okay, so the thing that you did on purpose of your own volition, you had to do one time. And that excuses all of the other times that you chose to do it.
Yeah, I'm saying it's good that I already was in a good practice of handwriting everything because I couldn't pause or fast forward or anything like that. And also sometimes the safety announcement would interrupt it and I had to sort of fill in the blanks and I was already a very proficient hand note writer.
Yeah, every time something bad happens to me, my first thought is always, I'm so glad this has happened a bunch of other times to me as well.
I'm so glad that I prepared for it.
I'm so used to it.
I was always a hand note taker, even in college.
Disgusting.
And the lectures and stuff.
All right. Well, let's get on to this matchup. First, we have the NorCal Ninjas versus the Young Bloods. This is how you team up, two teams. This is how you match two teams up. You got the experienced people, Brian Kretsch, David Campbell. They've been to every single American Ninja Warrior season. And then you've got the new kids on the block, Kevin Carbone, Tyler Gillette, Bree Widener. This is how you do it.
It would have been better if the NorCal Ninjas names like referenced their experience, if they were called like the Age Over Beauties or something.
Well, I don't know if they'd want to insult themselves like that.
Well, I think that would have been better as like a rivalry type of deal.
This is like the fans versus favorites of American Ninja Warrior.
Oh my God. Yes. I love that. That's like their next like one-off special. Like instead of doing an all-stars special, they're going to do like fans versus ninjas where it's like big fans of the show.
Yeah,
walk on.
I think the fans of the show that are the Kevin Carbones and Tyler Gillettes are a few and far between, though.
Yeah, but they're out there.
I guess so. Well, first off, we had Brian Kretsch versus Kevin Carbone, and we got a good package from Brian. We don't usually get a lot of stuff from him, but he broke his leg a while ago. He was injured, but he still hasn't missed a Ninja Warrior season, and he's been doing these jetty runs on rocks in order to build up his confidence again, so that he won't, feel scared to break his leg, I guess.
Yeah, it's help him conquer a fear. What are these called?
Jetty runs, I think.
Have you ever heard of these?
No.
I haven't either.
But I'm pretty sure I invented them when I was a child on the beach. So, just saying.
Okay. You went to really rocky beaches.
There's rocks on the sides of beaches. That's what happens in Maine, I guess.
Yeah, not the ones that I've been to. But I've never been to Maine.
I guess not. Then we had Kevin Carbone, whose package was basically like, this dude made the wing nuts.
Yeah, they were like, the wing nuts were the breakout hit of the season. It's like, if by that you mean everyone hated them.
And by breakout hit, you mean they hit every single one of the athletes off of the course.
Yes, and made some body parts break. Maybe, yes. Potentially.
But that's fine with me. Reminders are perfectly fine as packages, as long as they're nice and short and sweet, which I enjoy. Brian pulls ahead of Kevin on the ring toss, but Kevin will not let him build momentum here. This was right out of the gates with doing exactly what Akbar was telling other people to do in previous episodes. Just don't let him swing back. You got to get in the way. And Kevin was like, no. You are not building up momentum. You're not dismounting here. Great job by Kevin there.
Yeah. And the thing is, we've talked about this in past episodes about how it's not actually helpful if like you are not the superior ninja, because it's just going to make both of you waste a ton of energy. But and so I thought like, well, this isn't going to help Kevin at all. He's just going to get bumped into a bunch and he's going to burn out having to hold that dead hang so long. But I like way underestimated him and he could totally handle that. And like, as we'll see later, he is super, super impressive. So this was definitely the right move for him.
Yes, and it definitely buys him some time as well. Brian had a big reach advantage, and tiring Brian out ended up being very, very beneficial, obviously, because Brian tries to speed through the shelf grab and slips up, goes into the water, even though he was still ahead of Kevin at that point. And Kevin ends up winning this matchup, and I gotta say, I thought that the NorCal Ninjas were heavy favorites over the Young Bloods. buds. And I felt like Brian should have won that heat. But Kevin threw some tricky strategy, and Brian through slipping up and running out of some stamina, really ended up losing a big matchup there. And this was just a sign of things to come for anyone that faced the Young Bloods.
Yeah. Also, if anyone doesn't remember who Kevin Carbone is, he is the one that they call the Maker Ninja, who is also my boyfriend. If that gives anybody a refresher, he's my ninja crush.
Yes. Lita has been in a long-term relationship with the idea of Kevin Carbone.
Yeah. He just doesn't know yet. That's fine.
Next up was Anna Shoemaker versus Bree Widener. Anna did well in Team Ninja last year, and Bree does horror makeup and stuff.
She is really cute. I remember liking her in the regular season.
Bree.
Yes.
You mean? Yes.
Bree.
Yes, she's very cute. I agree.
But she didn't bring her scary clowns with her, which would have been even more frightening during this thing with all like the smoke and all of that.
Sure. I'm always a fan of not having clowns. So,
well, she brought all her like scary clown friends to her last run on the regular season.
It's true. Now she has new ninja friends. So screw those guys.
Oh, so she left her clown friends behind. That's a sad story.
It's the story I decided to tell.
She's so fake.
Akbar is going with Anna here. I think Anna's got this one. And I gotta say, I thought that too. I felt like this was another matchup where Anna was really, she was meant to win this one. I feel like she had the skills here. But on one of those rope swings, she gets her shoes wet, and then she tries to make an early dismount on the ring toss, slips up with those shoes, and slips then on the floating tiles with those shoes, and just gets her entire body soaked. She's way ahead of Bree at that point, but because she spent so much time getting back onto the floating tiles, she is now Bree manages to catch up for the shelf grab, and Bree and Anna is just like she's soaked to the core. She's water's flying off of her on the shelf grab.
Yeah. And then when like they end up getting to the warp wall at the same time, which is really exciting. But Anna has to take the time to get her shoes off and then
breathe and her socks and then wipe her feet off.
More like Anna no shoes maker.
Ooh.
Ooh. But then Bree didn't capitalize while she was taking her shoes off. So I thought that Bree was going to blow it. But Anna ends up missing. So Bree still has the opportunity.
Yes. And again, like if Anna hadn't gotten her feet wet on that rope swing, then she probably doesn't fall on the floating tiles. She's probably way ahead by the shelf grab. She probably is able to get up that warped wall with plenty of time to spare. But all of those mistakes add up, and Bree ends up taking this one. And I was like, wow, this is Norca. This is exactly what would happen to David Campbell's team, because David Campbell is the guy that is really good at American Ninja Warrior, but there's just like some minor thing that always goes wrong for him, and he's just always unlucky. And I was like, well, now David is up, and of all the people on his team, he is the one that does by far the best, has no slip ups, instead of the things happening to him, they just happen to his team instead. And so it's just like, he can't escape it. Poor David.
But can we agree that the Godfather, I think, is the best nickname of any of the ninjas in all of this whole universe?
Yes. And well deserved.
Yeah. I think that that's the coolest one.
I think I agree.
I mean, the Beast McGrath is pretty good. But
yeah, a lot of the OG nicknames
before Akbar just started giving out nicknames. Like
before
candy.
Akbar was a commentator. Yeah. So next up, we have David Campbell versus Tyler Gillette. David Campbell is 40 now, 40 years old, and he is the Godfather. He's the first to make at home obstacles, which, you know, I obviously want to give him credit for that. It was, as he mentioned before, ninja gyms even existed. But he was kind of taking after the Japanese athletes from Sasuke.
I thought you were going to say that you invented at home obstacles, like how you invented Jenning running or whatever.
Jenning running?
Yeah, what is it?
Jetty running? I don't know.
Jetty? Kylie Jenner running? I don't know.
Something like that.
I thought you were going to say that you also invented at home obstacles.
Well, I basically did. That's like... I don't know if anyone remembers, but I used to like run on the tops of slides.
At your home,
circular, like at playgrounds, and like just convert them into obstacles when I was a kid.
Wow.
That's how I got stitches in my chin. Anyway, David is up against Tyler Gillette, and Tyler, he's got a new job, a money transport job. He's got a bulletproof vest and a gun and everything.
I've got a question about this job that I had never heard of before. I feel like if you want to do this job safely, don't have a gun and a bulletproof vest. Just drive a normal looking car. Like, no one's gonna rob you if you're just like in a Subaru, but if you clearly look like someone who's transporting a bunch of money, then you're gonna need the bulletproof vest.
I don't think you understand the point of this job, Lita, because I'm pretty sure the entire point of the existence of this job is to get robbed in heist movies.
Oh, okay. I've never seen a heist movie.
They don't exist outside of that.
Yeah, so that makes more sense. He works for a money transportation company. I really had never heard of this. I was like a bank? Like you just work for a bank?
Something like that. I've got to say, it felt weird to see him in the getup. It felt like a kid wearing like body armor. It didn't work for me.
He's younger than me. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
I hope he stays safe. I hope he gets one of the anti-hero robbers instead of the villain robbers.
Yeah, like with a heart of gold, who's
exactly,
just like
that
hit
doesn't
some
kill
trouble.
Their victims of robbery. And instead, and hopefully there's not like the wild card in the group that's going to like act like shoot someone in the face. And then everyone's like, whoa, why'd you do that? Now we're screwed. And hopefully that's not him that dies.
Yeah. What movie is that from?
Oh, like half of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't watch movies with wild cards in them.
Well, you're missing out. David is way ahead on the ring toss and does this great move. David, best person on the ring toss by far, where he swings one hand at a time and then does a one-handed early dismount. And Tyler he can't keep up. David just soars through this course. One of the best just runs I've seen on one of these courses the whole season, really.
Yeah, it's good for him that he got to prove himself, because as we've talked about before, he doesn't always get invited back onto the show. So like anytime that he can prove that he should be invited, I think it's good for David Campbell, even if his team doesn't move on.
Yes. And Akbar says, NorCal ninjas avoid elimination and ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I admire ooh, his ooh, enthusiasm. Yeah. Also, I like that on this relay, they do the thing that we've kind of talked about with like switching up the order a little bit, where they put David in the middle rather than at the end to like lower the risk of falling early. But also, they put Brian on the flying shelf grab, which he has already fallen on. So they must like really think that must have just been a fluke.
Yes, I imagine so. But again, we've never seen anything but both women doing the first leg. Still don't know for sure if that's a requirement or if every single team has just happened to choose that particular place to put the women. Who knows?
Yeah. Or they just like saw it happen enough times that they're like, oh, I guess this is a rule, and no one bothered to check.
Yeah. There's no, they're all about conformity in Ninja versus Ninja.
Yeah, that's what I'm always saying. They're afraid of originality on this show.
Yeah. David does the same great move on the ring toss. The NorCal ninjas are looking like they're going to take this relay. And Tyler manages to catch up to Brian at the warped wall, and they hit this buzzer at the exact same time. Basically, they said they had to look at every single camera angle to figure out who hit this first. And man, by 2/100ths of a second, Tyler managed to hit it before Brian. And like, wow, Like this was such a fluke victory, in my opinion, between, you know, Brian slipping up at the shelf grab, Anna slipping up with her shoes, and then by 0.02 seconds, poor luck for the NorCal ninjas here.
Yeah. And also I'm going to say, really good luck all night for the young bloods. They get some really lucky breaks, like even in their next matchup as well. So yeah, I would not be betting on them in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, they do really show up in the finals of the episode for sure. Mm-hmm. But even there, as you mentioned, they had some lucky breaks as well. So impressive, but also I'm not sure that they even should have beat the NorCal Ninjas. But you know, luck is part of the game here. And if you have those little slip ups, then you lose. That's how it goes. And the NorCal and the young bloods, they ran perfect. They didn't have any of those slip ups, so you got to credit them for that.
Yeah, and never underestimate the final obstacle, the buzzer.
Yes, very much so. Next up was Team Wolfpack versus Trey Amigos, and I didn't expect Trey Amigos to beat Wolfpack. I thought Wolfpack was going to sweep this whole episode.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that these are the odds-on favorites. Like Ian Dory and Dan Yeager, and like obviously Jerry's no slouch, but yeah, I was really surprised by all of this, and like especially by Ian. I don't know if it's just that like the people that he was running against are particularly crazy fast, or if this is just like not really his game, but I was really surprised by this.
Yeah, actually, I think Jerry was the best woman of the night. I think she was the strongest woman competing that night, but very bad luck in the finals, which we'll talk about. So Ian Dory is up first against Andrew Lowe's. The package for Ian is that, oh boy, he came so close like 3 years ago.
Yeah, remember that time?
Yeah. He fell. And I love this stuff. I don't mean to like make light of it because I actually really enjoy it. I love the just quick glimpse of like, remember that time 3 years ago? And I'm like, I do remember that time 3 years ago. Thank you. And then we move on. Andrew, we learn, is a break dancer, but now he's a photographer. There you go.
Great. Those are two skills I don't have. So good for you, Andrew.
Ian gets hung up on the ring toss and just never can quite pull back into the race. Andrew manages to take it over Ian. And, as you mentioned, I was surprised here that, that Ian slipped up there. That seemed to be where he would have, been strong.
Yeah. I really think, like, I don't know if it was just like a lack of passion or whatever for this competition, because it doesn't matter that much, but Ian didn't seem to have a ton of intensity.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of hustle in him.
Yeah. Well, still love you, Ian.
Next up was Jerry D'Aurelio, something like that, versus Megan Beatty. And Jerry is in the, I think it's called the JAG Corps. Maybe it's the Jetty Corps.
I don't ask me questions about the military. I don't know.
Something about retraining, and she was on a women's team for something and came in second. So
it was
congrats.
A thing that apparently exists called the Bataan Memorial Death March, which I guess is a commemoration of that march. I had never heard of this. Seems a little disrespectful to me, but what do I know?
Didn't even know what it was called. So, also Megan is a former gymnast, now a power lifter. That's where Megan is coming from.
Okay. Good for you, Megan. Have we seen Megan before?
I don't know.
Okay, great. Good job, Megan.
Megan ends up having to take an extra swing on the TikTok. I think she was new to competition. Jerry made a really good move on the ring toss where, Megan was trying to block her, and Jerry just spread her legs, around Megan as she swung backwards so she could build up momentum to make that early dismount. And Megan just doesn't come anywhere even close to catching up to Jerry, and then just completely whiffs on the shelf grab. Like doesn't even seem like she can even make an attempt at grabbing the second one.
Yeah, and Akbar is really into like the lawyer jokes with Jerry, because she's also a lawyer, where he's like, oh, she objected, but it was overruled. Something something. Like, there's that lawyer brain. Like,
yeah. Okay. And then when she won, he was like, the lawyer wins her case.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Good job. Yeah. Even though her package had nothing to do with that.
Next up was Dan Yeager versus Tremaine Dortch. They talk about how he runs a hair salon, and then he quickly in the package says, no, I just do like the cleaning up and stuff. My wife runs it.
And he gets his haircut every 10 days.
That was the other fact, which I am jealous of.
Are you? Is that the ideal amount of time to get your hair cut?
My hair, like, I get it cut. And then, like, there's like a 1 week period where I'm like, right, my hair, it's great. It's good for a week. And then it grows and it's not good anymore. So
that's really sad. I get my hair cut every like 2 years and it works out great. So you should try just growing your hair out like 24 inches.
Just already tried that when I was a young boy.
Did you have voice length hair?
It was not good.
Okay. Well, it's easier to not hate your haircut.
Tremaine Dortch runs a gym called Beast Body and is known for his abs.
Yes, that is true. They say he has the most famous abs in ninja history, which I think is definitely an accurate statement.
There you go. They bump into each other at the ring toss, but Dan manages to pull ahead. And then Tremaine just, again, whiffs it on that shelf grab, and Dan takes the point here.
Yes. And this is where I have a question that I'm sure this has come up before, but I haven't thought about it. So what's the point of doing the third run after the points are already 1-1? Like, we know that it's going to go to a relay because it has to be
because
the first.
Because the relay is also worth 1 point. So,
right. Sometimes they have to do two relays.
Yeah. Okay. Because Dan won, it was 2-1. And then, the Trey Amigos would have had to win two relays in order to, beat the, Wolfpack.
Right. Okay. I forgot that sometimes they do the double relay.
Yes. So we do this relay. And again, the women are first, followed by Dan and Andrew. And then Ian and Tremaine are going to close it out. Jerry gives the Wolfpack an early lead, but Andrew manages to catch up on the ring toss. Then Dan pulls ahead of Andrew on the ring toss, as he did in his previous matchup, slips on the floating tiles, which allows Andrew to catch up again. A lot of bouncing back and forth here. And then Tremaine manages to pull ahead on the shelf grab, and Ian catches up at the warped wall when they both fail. And at this point, I am like, Jesus, I need to take some notes down. Would you stop passing each other? And so this was very exciting. They both fail at the wall. They run back. They tag the wall, which I imagine they have to do. I didn't know that was a rule, but they both did it, so I imagine it is. And then they went back up the wall. Tremaine manages to get on the wall first, but Ian flips himself over the wall faster, hits the buzzer. Tremaine misses the buzzer, and Ian wins this for the Wolfpack.
That buzzer, I'm telling you. And I definitely think that this was the most exciting matchup of the night, if not the most exciting matchup that we've seen this whole season, because all of my notes are in all caps.
Yeah. It was very good.
Exciting. This show, listen, when this show is good, it's really, really good.
Yeah. And it's very often very good.
Yeah. And it's never bad. Like, I don't know. I'm just very happy with how this is all turning out.
Yes. Jerry in the interview afterwards says they practiced flinging themselves over the warped wall for just this kind of moment, which very smart of them, because that is a huge game changer in many of these matchups. Like, you can be the first to the wall with like a five second lead, and somebody can overcome that in instantly, basically, by just flinging themselves over that wall really quickly.
Yeah. And that's like a good reminder that some of these teams have the advantage of being able to train together. Like, obviously the Wolfpack like trains together and they can point out and work on stuff like that together. I feel like, I think it was Barkley. I was like reading a little interview with him, and she was saying like that she and her team had never trained together before this started. So like, they can't communicate about stuff like that. So it's like a little bit of an advantage that the Wolfpack have, which is good. I think every team, if they can, should train together before this.
Yes. So now we have Team Wolfpack versus the Young Bloods. And again, I gotta say, I was feeling like Wolfpack is going to sweep this because Young Bloods, they barely beat Team NorCal. And this is the Wolfpack. This is Dan Yeager. This is Jerry. This is Ian Dory. Surely they can't lose here.
Yeah, but the Young Bloods are hungrier. They want it. They're the super fans who waited till they were 21 to apply.
They're eaten.
Oh, God.
They're eaten.
You always bring this reference up. It's like that one old man.
So first up was Dan Yeager versus Kevin Carbone, bumping at the ring toss again, but Dan again pulls ahead. Kevin is way behind by the time he gets to the salmon ladder, and he looks like he's starting to burn out, but get some sort of second wind, and Dan is just going very slowly on the rumbling dice. So Kevin manages to catch up and then pull ahead on the rumbling dice. And by the time he's up on the zigzag, Dan looks wiped, and Kevin is able to pull ahead and just and take this one from Dan. I was not expecting this, especially in the back half of the course.
Yeah, this is wildly impressive from Kevin. I'm just so impressed by my boyfriend, Kevin Carbone. And I also forgot he's a tennis instructor, which is great.
He can teach you tennis?
Girl, I know tennis. Excuse you. I was the captain of my high school tennis team.
Well, fine. Yeah. I guess you don't want to be taught tennis by Kevin Carbone.
I mean, I'm not saying there's not room for improvement, especially because I haven't played in like 4 years. But just saying, used to be a highly competitive tennis player.
All right.
And we get very little representation of that sport on this show.
I didn't realize tennis representation was so important.
Yeah, it's very important. It's a very applicable skill to ninja.
Mm. So next up is Jerry versus Bree. And again, I felt like there was no way Jerry was going to lose this one. But she gets her feet wet first. And I was like, uh-oh. This isn't good. She does a big dismount on the ring toss, gets her, just really starts soaking her feet. And I was like, oh man, something's going wrong here. This is just not, it's not looking good. And then this is the worst loss of Ninja versus Ninja so far. She just jumps on the trampoline and then just kind of stumbles and falls down into the water.
Yeah, but it's not like she like slides off of it like her feet were wet. It was that mm-hmm. I think she jumped too far and missed like the bouncy part and just sort of like fell over forward.
Yeah, it wasn't even like, oh, she misjudged her jump and missed the shelf. It wasn't like, oh, it was a bad jump. It was like, oh no, she just like went onto the trampoline wrong. Like, I don't even think she meant to jump. She just meant to stand on the trampoline and she stepped too far, basically. Yeah. And down she goes, and Bree, who was way behind, manages to just kind of jump on the shelf, grab and casually clear it, and there you go.
Yeah, but this is like we've talked about this before, where like it's weird how just getting to the obstacle counts as like getting there first, because Jerry, like, it counted as her getting to the flying shelf grab. So if Bree hadn't finished the flying shelf grab, even if she had gone out right at the end, Jerry still would have gotten the point, which seems really unfair. So I was just like really praying that Bree finished, because that would be so unfair if she made it like almost all the way through the flying shelf grab, like fell on the dismount or something, and Jerry still got the point.
It's the way it goes. So Wolfpack is down 2-0, and it's up to Ian Dory against Tyler Gillette. And man, they are neck and neck, like all the way through to the salmon ladder. Tyler just not letting Ian pull ahead of him. And then again at the rumbling dice, for whatever reason, these Wolfpackers, they're slow on the rumbling dice. And Tyler just manages to really pull ahead there. Getting onto the zigzag faster. Ian tries to catch up at the zigzag. He is going up it faster than Tyler was, and Tyler looks really spent by the time he gets up there, but it just wasn't enough, and he lost too much ground on the rumbling dice. The Youngbloods not only take this, but sweep the Wolfpack.
I feel like this has to be the biggest upset of the season so far.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's, I mean, but that's exciting that upsets can happen. Like, on this level, that we're going to see, like, not just because so far, whichever team I have expected to win the whole episode, just looking at them, has won. So, like, I feel bad for the Wolfpack here, because I was, you know, they have some of my favorites on there, but like, I'm glad that we can still expect to see some unexpected teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, you can't just be like, oh, I know who's gonna win, because you don't. You just don't.
Yeah, but it seems like we have quite a few teams next week that are on my list of some of the ones to look for. Definitely the Golden Hearts, I think, are going to be people to watch. And then I think there was one other team that looked really stacked. So not all of them are going to make it.
Oh, man. We're just going to have to wait and see until next week when we talk about episode 5 of Ninja versus Ninja.
Yes. And our favorite Grant McCartney and friends.
Yes. So look forward to that.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, we were asked, are we going to cover USA versus the world? The question is, we did to ourselves, but we didn't like it very much. So we decided, let's delete that audio. We don't like it. We don't need it.
That's exactly how it went down.
It's basically how it went down.
We would rather provide no content than subpar content. That's what happened. We're just really responsible.
Really, we saved the audience because I was going to release it with the picture of me and Morimoto, which nobody really wanted to see. as like the episode picture.
Oh, you should just tweet it.
Yeah.
What?
Not really that much of a picture tweeter.
Okay, well, that sounds like a you problem. It sounds like you're not prioritizing our fans.
I just feel like if I would have tweeted it, it would have been during USA versus the world.
Yeah, you're not a big TBT guy, so that doesn't really provide you a lot of opportunities.
I don't even know what that means.
Throwback Thursday pick.
What am I throwing back to?
That time you met the people from the Japanese team.
But it's the first time anyone is hearing of it.
No, but you can throwback Thursday is just you post a photo from like a little while ago. It's just an excuse to post like old photos.
But it's a new photo to everyone seeing it.
Yeah, but like it's from a time that is not like current. Like you post a pic on Instagram from like today and like that's normal. But if you post a photo on Instagram from like a few months ago, then you want to like identify it as a TBT. Like this happened a few months ago. Like if you were to post that, not that you have an Instagram, but if you were to post that and put the location as like Las Vegas, Nevada, it would be confusing for people because they'd be like, oh, Taryn's in Vegas. But then you throw a TBT on that caption and people are like, oh, Taryn's not in Vegas. He was there a while ago.
Well, I am flying to Reno tomorrow, which is close to Vegas. So maybe I should just post it when I'm in Reno and it'll be like close enough.
Yeah, exactly. But tomorrow is Monday, so you can't post a TBT photo on a Monday. Well,
but I'm saying I don't need it to be a TBT because I'll be in Reno and it won't be confusing.
It's like a right now photo. It's like, sorry, I just made myself laugh. It's a matinal Monday, which is the French word for now. So that's like perfect because it's alliterative.
Yeah, just how I always planned it.
Right. But now it has sort of become also like people do way back Wednesday or flashback Friday.
That just seems like
it's derivative.
Yeah, it seems mean to Thursdays. Like Thursdays had a thing.
Yeah, especially because Wednesdays already have a thing, which is Woman Crush Wednesday. And then there's also Man Crush Monday.
It reminds me of all the days that became Thirsties in college.
Mm.
Like it was
one
day.
Yeah, that was Thursday's thing. No, it's always Thursday. Thursday.
Well, it was Thirsty Thursday. Yeah. But then it was Thirsty Friday and Thirsty Monday and Thirsty Tuesday. It was always thirsty. Everyone was always thirsty.
Mm, yeah, you went to such a huge party school. I can see how that would be the case.
It's everywhere you go.
Okay. Well, now we've learned that Thursday has really had its identity appropriated by all the other days.
It's true.
There's also Taco Tuesday, but that one is less of a thing on Instagram. I'm teaching you all of this because I know that you'll never actually get an Instagram, but I want you to feel current and be able to connect with the kids and the youths of America.
I see.
So you're welcome.
So the next time I'm confused about somebody posting a picture I didn't look at, I'll know this is probably a TBT.
Yeah, well, sometimes people link their Instagram posts to Twitter.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, I kind of hate that too. Sometimes my Instagram does it like without me realizing, like I accidentally checked the box or whatever, but like you just see the Instagram link and you can't even see the picture.
Exactly.
Then you have to click it anyway.
Don't you also see like the start of the description?
Right. Yeah.
Which is super annoying to me.
But next time you see the description just being hashtag TBT, you'll be like, this photo that I'm not going to click on is not from now.
Yeah. Very, very useful information for me. Yeah,
there you go. How have you never heard of Throwback Thursday?
I've seen it before. I just didn't understand. I thought it was, remember this picture that I posted on a Thursday some time ago?
No, people don't TBT to photos that they've already posted on Instagram usually.
I think I was confusing it with the time hop thing that Matt does a lot.
Well, it's not just time hop now because Facebook also does the on this day. So you don't even, I deleted the time hop app, but I still see those. Okay, well.
Well, people are mad at Facebook now. I know that.
Yeah, that's true. It's very political. There were three different team names at trivia that were jokes about Cambridge Analytica. And I was like, all right, guys, get some originality. But I did get an American Ninja Warrior question at trivia.
What was the question?
The question was, which of these shows aired first? American Ninja Warrior, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge, Wipeout, and what's another show that's like this? There was a fourth option. But the fourth option wasn't the answer, so it's not relevant.
And it was MXC?
Yeah, for sure. Because I remember watching that when I was like a child and not understanding any of the jokes.
All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for you today on Ninja versus Ninja. Episode 4. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up podcast. Find it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can subscribe to the reality TV Rehap Ups feed, where you get all kinds of great goodies and stuff and podcasts.
What are the goodies that aren't podcasts that you get on there?
You won't know until you subscribe.
Ooh, a secret. That's incentive. Everybody subscribe.
Exactly. And then if you rate this podcast on iTunes or other places that rate things.
I think it's called Apple Podcasts now.
You know, whatever, Apple.
Yeah, I agree.
If you do that, then you also get a prize. The prize of knowing that you're a good person.
Yeah, and that it really made my day, because I'll check those every once in a while, and they really bring me a lot of joy.
There you go.
As long as it's a nice review, which thankfully they have been so far. I'm knocking on wood. You can't see it, but
it's really like going out of your way to listen to something you don't like if you're listening to this podcast and don't like it.
Yeah, that's true. And then to write a review about it. It's like, good. Do you feel better?
All right. Well, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong. Taryn Lita is at Lita Tweeter. You can follow her on Instagram at Lita Grammed if you want to do the Thursback Thursdays or whatever it is.
Thursback Thursdays.
Didn't even do that on purpose. Make sure you check out our Big Brother Canada 6 coverage. Make sure you listen to The Taryn Show. I recently just had a conversation with Kirsten McInnes, who is supposed to be on Big Brother Canada 6, but wasn't, because they screwed her and us and everyone.
Yeah.
But it was a very fun conversation. I really recommend it. Make sure you check that out coming on Tuesday. And thanks for listening.
Yeah. Kirsten's a delight and I love her, so you should check out that Taryn Show.
It's true. And what's also true is that we'll see you next time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I am okay. It's my least favorite day of the year. Not Easter, but April Fool's Day. I'm constantly on edge, and it makes me not trust anyone around me.
I feel like that's your normal life, though.
That's so rude and also not true. I just really don't like pranks. I don't think they're funny. I think they're mean. And even when they're not mean, they're still not funny. So I don't like this day. How are you?
I'm fine. Still recovering from Reno.
Okay. No pranks planned?
No, not really. Unless you count probably releasing this podcast and the previous one together as a package, because it still hasn't come out.
It's a double episode.
Yeah, exactly.
You can bill it as such.
Maybe that's what we should do. Just package them together.
Yeah, I mean, it was so many holidays this week. It was busy. You were in Reno. You know, It happens. And I'm still observing Passover, so I feel like I should get credit for just being here without the ability to eat bread.
Oh, man. What do you do without bread?
You eat matzah and be sad because I can't eat anything.
It's a shame.
I know.
Well, we are here to talk about episode 5 of Ninja versus Ninja. And we've got, it's an all right episode. Probably one of the weaker episodes, I think.
You think? I thought that it was exciting going into a million rounds at the end.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We had the Pole Grasper and Spin Cycle here for this episode. And our first matchup was the Golden Hearts versus the Average JoJos. And we're going to start with Grant versus JoJo.
Mm-hmm. I still wish that the Average JoJos had those Average Joe's uniforms from the movie Dodgeball.
Yeah, well, you can't have everything you want.
Okay. Wow. A harsh lesson in reality today. Yeah. Did you know that Grant McCartney is a local celebrity in Hawaii?
Yeah. He says it's hard to get through a workout without being stopped for a picture.
Oh my God. His life sounds really so hard.
Yeah.
I feel like he should have like a children's television show. I feel like that's his calling because when he's talking in confessional, I feel like he is speaking to a child. He's like, it's so exciting. The locals are so nice. And it's like, just talk like a normal person. But I feel like kids would really latch on to him because he's got like the weird hair and stuff.
Is that what qualifies you to be good with kids is having weird hair?
I mean, clowns have weird hair.
Yeah, but are clowns good with kids?
They're certainly geared towards kids. I think they're supposed to be for kids originally.
It's weird that they still exist, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm not saying Grant McCartney is or should be a clown. I'm just saying, like, I could see him, like, teaching kids about, like, nutrition or something.
I guess so.
Or being the new Blue's Clues guy. Or something. I don't know.
He's a little too jacked to be the Blue's Clues guy.
That's really rude to Steve, who now is, like, an accomplished comedian or something. Are you not allowed...
an accomplished jacked guy.
Are you not allowed to be jacked to be the Blue's Clues guy?
No. You have to be harmless.
Well, I think like Grant can be harmless and still have muscles.
Yeah, but you can't have like, you know, you can't feel like Grant. You can't feel like the Blue's Clues guy can just like accidentally crush the Blue's Clues dog.
Also known as Blue.
Yeah.
Because it's his clues.
Sure.
That's the name of the dog.
Man, this is like Doctor Who. If I thought his name was Doctor Who.
Is that not his name?
No.
Oh, Doctor Whom. I've never seen it.
See? Look, we're both wrong about things. All right. So JoJo, he's 40 and he plays baseball. That's what I got from his package.
Uh-huh. Semi-professionally.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, neither of us know anything about baseball, so that's not helpful.
Pretty quick run, though. Grant pulls ahead on the Pole Grasper, and that's about it. I gotta say, not a fan of the Pole Grasper Spin Cycle combo here, at least how it played out in this episode, just because the Spin Cycle, either you have it or you don't. There's not really any leeway for, you know, catching up there. So it was really just all about the Pole Grasper. Who pulls ahead on the Pole Grasper tends to win the matchup here.
Yeah, but I don't mind it because there is sort of that contact at the end where a lot of the time people end up sharing a pole. And it's also an obstacle where, like, you can jump. If you have a good grip, you can jump really far to a further pole. So I feel like it's like a good spot to catch up. And also sometimes people fall on it, which, you know, no, is sometimes exciting.
I like the Pole Grasper. I just think that they need another obstacle where if you are fast enough or good enough, you can use that to catch up. And I feel like the Spin Cycle is not that obstacle. I feel like the combination of the two of them didn't really work quite well.
It should be like the Pole Grasper and then that the hoop thing where you're like holding hoops and climbing because people can be really fast or really slow at that, I feel like.
Yeah. Like something that doesn't take like the same amount of time for every single athlete, essentially. So then, so Grant pulls ahead of the pole grasper. That's about it. He wins that heat. And then we have Natalie Duran versus Jessica Clayton. And Natalie Duran is getting her pilot's license.
Oh, God. Can you imagine anything that you would want to do less than getting your private pilot's license?
Probably.
Okay, but like, that sounds terrible. Like, I admire her, but I do most things I can to avoid flying in a plane at all, let alone being responsible for it. And also, I feel like that would be a lot of like loop-de-loops and up and down, and I don't like it.
But you're flying, so you're in control of that. You don't have to do loop-de-loops if you're the one flying the plane.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like if it's like a private thing, you're not just going to like take a leisurely commercial flight. You're going to want to look cool in front of all your pilot friends.
That's the whole point, is that you're the one flying. So you get to decide whatever. If you want to just have a leisurely stroll in a plane, then you get to do that because you're in charge. I would much rather be flying a plane than sitting in one with a bunch of crying babies around me.
Oh, God. I can barely drive a car, so I feel like I don't want to fly a plane.
I mean, I just feel like driving a car is better than being in the back seat of a car with five other people with babies.
I mean, I'm not arguing with that. I mean, if it were up to me, I would not like allow babies to come into my restaurant, because if a baby cries around me, I don't know what to do. And then parents look at me like I'm a monster because I'm ignoring their baby.
I think babies should be banned.
Yes.
From public places.
I completely agree with you. And generally try to only work in establishments where I can avoid them. But you can't, if a parent brings a baby into the restaurant, you can't be like, sorry, you have to go away on account of your baby.
It should be like a thing where, like, you only get to bring your baby places if you have special certification.
Oh, like a therapy pet.
Sure. like you have to prove that it is necessary to bring your baby around with you. Otherwise, if you have any other option, then you have to utilize that option.
Yeah. It's like, I understand if you cannot afford a sitter. Like I do respect that, but also, I cannot be around your baby. It will make me go insane. This is going to be, people are going to get really mad at us for this. This is going to be like when we talked about Santa Claus on a podcast.
Well, look, the opinions of this podcast are in fact our opinions. So,
great disclaimer.
If anyone gets mad at a joke about babies being banned, then get over yourself.
People are defensive about babies.
It's true, which they need to get over themselves if they get mad at a joke. All right. So Natalie Duran versus Jessica Clayton is a former Marine and mom. She's probably one of the people that would get mad at us.
Yeah, but she has children. She doesn't have babies currently.
It's true.
I love Jessica Clayton. Where's she been?
Yes, she was good here. She makes a big jump on the pole grasper. Duran makes a big jump on the pole grasper because Jessica is so far ahead of her at that point, and gets her feet wet, Duran. And then Duran also slips when she tries to jump off the tramp to the spin cycle, meaning Jessica Clayton wins this pretty decisively.
Yeah, and you kind of knew that she was going to win, but her team wasn't ultimately going to win because her package was like, if I just hit one buzzer, it'll all be worth it. And it's like, I bet she's going to hit just one buzzer and it'll all be worth it. But her package was nice. It was about like, you know, she's going through a divorce and she got out of the Marines and going to a ninja gym, like helped her, you know, get back on her feet, which is really nice. And I was happy to see you here and hope to see you in the regular season.
Yes. Then we have Neil Craver versus Jimmy Bogle Jr. This was, I saw Neil and I was like, he looks a little different. And then they were like, oh yeah, he hasn't been training all year because he's been nursing a shoulder injury. And I was like, oh, okay.
Did he get injured? I know that he wasn't in Vegas last year and we were surprised about it. He was in Vegas, but he wasn't competing. Did he injure his shoulder on the show? And I just don't remember.
No, he injured it rock climbing.
Okay, but was it before last season? That's why he didn't compete?
It may have been before last. In fact, it almost definitely was, because this was filmed shortly after and they said he's been out for a year.
Okay, yeah, they didn't, I guess why would they? But they didn't say anything about that on the regular season, so I remember being surprised that he wasn't competing in Vegas.
Yes. And Jimmy Bogle Jr. just had a daughter.
He had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. And look what it did for him.
And also weird, I felt like Jimmy Bogle Jr. looked different than in their flashbacks to the regular season. I felt like he looked a little softer, a little like he's been dadified. He looks friendlier.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like in a mean way, like his body looked softer.
No, I was mean about Neil, not about Jimmy.
Okay. Never be mean about Jimmy. Jimmy looked unrecognizable to me in that I did not know who this person was. So I did not recognize him.
I didn't, but they showed clips of him.
Mm. Do you know that Neil Craver used to be a BMX bike racer, which doesn't even make sense to me because I thought that BMX was doing tricks, not racing.
Well, the real trick on a BMX bike is to race with it.
The greatest trick the BMX biker ever played. I guess I don't know anything about BMX, but I thought it was when you like went off of jumps and like did flips and stuff.
Probably.
Okay, well,
but
apparently,
you can also race it.
Yeah, I guess you can.
If anyone is going to race with a trick bike, it's going to be Crazy Craver. That's where he got the nickname, I bet, is that it wasn't a BMX racing competition. It was a regular bike racing competition, and he just decided to race with a BMX bike.
Feels really unfair.
for him.
I guess maybe I think that BMX bikes are motorcycles. Are they not?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, then I really have no idea what I'm talking about. You know how like cool people call motorcycles their bikes?
Are they cool?
And how uncool people call bicycles their motorcycles, is just confusing.
Okay, so we've already angered moms. Let's also anger bikers. I think that motorcycles that make loud noises should also be banned.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. It's like, you're not an ambulance. You don't need that much noise.
Exactly. And they like it. They get off on it. They're like, and it's like, oh God, get over yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And motorcycles are very dangerous. So be safe out there, everyone. We're going to get all of the mom biker gangs after us, which is a scary demographic.
We're just trying to alienate as many possible listeners in the 8 of them that listen.
Yep. And I'm sure the Venn diagram of our listeners and biker moms is huge.
Yes. So Bogle, he slips right off of the TikTok, and just like that, Crazy Craver wins this, but he still speeds all the way through the course afterward, which I thought was a little strange, knowing that he has a relay coming up. I don't know why he would want to, I understand why he'd want to get familiar with the obstacles, but why does he need to go so fast and like tire himself out? Maybe they have long breaks, but still.
Well, definitely part of it was that he didn't realize until he had done at least one or two more obstacles. And then at that point, he was just like, momentum, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you know, and it was his first time back on a course after a while, so, you know.
Yeah. Do you think that this is a bad episode because there are so many, like, bad falls, like, ways that people go out in dumb ways?
Lots of, this shouldn't have happened, and I really feel like the best team did not win the episode.
Shade. I call shade.
We're also pissing off the Golden Hearts.
The Golden Hearts, all three of them. They're three of our 8 listeners.
So then we have the relay where the women started off, and I have to think at this point, this is definitely a rule that the women have to be first, especially after what happens in the final relays. Then Craver versus Bogle, JoJo versus Grant in the finals. They both Bogle and Craver fall into the water at the floating steps simultaneously, which means JoJo and Grant are going to start at the same time after 5 seconds. And Grant just has a much better wall technique, and he just strolls to victory there.
Yeah, this was so weird. And I also wonder, like, it definitely can't have been at the exact same time, because with the buzzers, they have it come down to like milliseconds or whatever. And they just didn't bother to do that because they were just like, oh, they can just start at the exact same time, which I know it wouldn't have mattered, but seemed unprofessional.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what if it had come down to 2/10 of a second?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is that like sometimes it does. So I feel like they should have had them start at exactly when their team hit the water 5 seconds from then.
I think there was something a little fishy about it in general, just because Bogle fell all the way into the water and Craver managed to hang on. So yeah. I don't know if maybe they were just like, let's not have you climb out of the water soaked and try to figure this out. Or maybe it was a thing where it was like, because like we talked about with 5 seconds, you know, Bogle falls into the water after 5 seconds. And then like what, it's going to take Craver like 30 seconds to pull himself out. And like, so they're just like, oh, let's just go. You guys are fine with this, right? And they were probably like, yeah. So the Golden Hearts take the win over the Average JoJo's, and the Average JoJo's are out.
Yeah, it's less impactful when you have a name like the Average JoJo's and then you perform below average, because it's like no longer ironic.
Yeah. Next up was the Towers of Power versus Three Wishes. And our first matchup here is Thomas Stillings versus Dan Palizzi. We get a package from Dan that he is competing without Brandon. And that's because Brandon had a medical emergency with his baby, which is terrifying. And like, come on, guys, this was filmed like months and months ago. Where is our update? What happened with the baby?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I
hope it wasn't sad, and that's why they didn't say it.
Yeah. If it's sad, I guess they would want Brandon to tell his own story, maybe on the regular season. I'll do some Instagram sleuthing and figure this one out, and we can give an update ourselves since the show won't do it for us.
Because Brandon had a whole package last time, I think, right? Where he was like so excited to have his baby, and like they'd been trying for a while. That was Brandon, right? Like,
no, that was totally Brandon. Yeah, I mean, I guess if I have to have one tower of power, I would rather it be Dan, but I hope that everything is okay with Brandon. I'm going to see if he's on Instagram and if there's any updates while we record this. But and it's also weird that like, I don't know how far in advance this happened, but the fact that Nate Burkhalter flew from Norway to replace him, it's like, do they have some relationship with him? Because that seems like a really long way to go to be like a last minute replacement.
Yeah, it seems like surely they could have found someone closer.
Yeah. Okay. Brandon hasn't posted on Instagram since July 15th. So that's not helpful at all.
Okay. Meanwhile, Thomas Stillings, he's focusing on the business side of owning a gym, and he's now getting married.
Yeah, good for him. Great. I like his team name.
Three Wishes. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the there's three of them and he wears genie pants.
There you go.
I think they should all wear the genie pants though. Also, these weren't even genie pants. These were clearly just like leggings.
Yeah, he's clearly beyond, like, he's gone beyond the look of the genie bag. Like, he's like, I want to look cool now, guys. It kind of looks like him, but not really.
I think once he cut his ponytail, like, the genie thing was kind of gone anyway.
Yeah, like he looked kind of silly with his ponytail and genie pants, and he understands now that he is a good-looking guy and can look not silly.
Yeah. He's a good looking guy. He's very obsessed with like, I want to like show everybody that I'm grown up now. But I like never really thought of him as that young. I don't know. It's not like he looks that young. It's just, I guess, because he wore silly clothes. I don't know. Isn't his rivalry with Daniel Gill? Shouldn't they be going against each other?
Yes. And I think, you know, maybe they were expected to win this episode. So they could go against Daniel Gill.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thomas versus Dan here. Stillings pulls ahead throughout the whole race. Stillings is just like pulling ahead. Dan is pulling back in. Dan really keeps it close, but Stillings manages to beat him pretty easily. They're going up the warped wall at similar times, but Stillings has enough of a lead that he gets to like just stand up and just nonchalantly press the buzzer, which was pretty fun.
Yeah, this was closer than I thought it would be. Whatever, yeah. Props to Dan.
Hopper says, the genie is out of the bottle.
Yeah, okay, that's a little easy, Akbar. But they all also have mirrors written on their arms, which is sweet. And
yes.
I don't know, this makes me sad. Bums me out.
Next up was Brittany Hanks versus Selena Lanyell. Brittany is a track person and Selena is a firefighter person.
Yeah. A firefighter person is the official name. She is the only woman on her, squad, whatever it's called. And I relate to this because I was the only girl on my high school squash team, which I think is the exact same thing.
Sure. Another interesting fact, Brittany, 24, Selena, 42.
Wow.
They're inverses.
Oh, yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's interesting because they're like, Selena is almost twice as old as Brittany. I'm like, yeah, I guess. Like, it's not quite there.
Much cooler to just say that they're the inverse of each other's age.
Yeah. No, that is much more interesting. They're anagrams of each other's age.
Selena almost falls on the cargo net, then Brittany almost falls on the floating tiles. They both end up on the spin cycle together, and they're having trouble reaching the second spin cycle, but Selena eventually falls where Brittany completes the course and takes down another point for three wishes.
Yeah, the spin cycle turned into the rinse cycle for Selena.
Whoa.
Because she got wet. I was actually impressed with Brittany here because they're both so small that like their wingspan, they can't reach the other thing. So Brittany just ends up lacheting, which was obviously a better strategy than Selena, who just kept trying to get momentum and reach for it. But that was pretty impressive from Brittany.
Yeah, Brittany does pretty well here until the relays.
I have a conspiracy theory before we move on. So when Brittany continued to finish the course even after Selena had fallen, they changed the camera angle on the warped wall from when she starts running to when she grabs it. And I wonder if sometimes they miss on their warped wall attempt, but that's super embarrassing if like your other person has already fallen, so now you're just doing it just to like show off or whatever. It would be super embarrassing if you missed. So I often wonder if they do like several attempts and they just edit it to make it look like one attempt. And I think this might have been one of those.
Certainly possible.
Just want to point that out.
So finally we have, and this ended up, obviously this wasn't intended, but it ended up being kind of silly with the names here. Nate Burkhalter versus Brian Burkhart.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only two people I've ever seen in my life that have the name Burkhart something. And they're both racing against each other.
Yeah. And no limits, Nate is going to find some limits very quickly.
Oh yeah. Nate, Burkhalter flew halfway around the world to be there at the last minute. He's going to be on the course for about 30 seconds.
Yeah. That's sad. Norway looks nice though.
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
That's where trolls are from though. So that's scary.
Like internet trolls.
maybe that's where they all are, but no, like real trolls, like mythical trolls.
Yeah,
they originate in Norway. Also, Brian Burkhart is in his last year of law school, and I googled him because I like to know where people went to school. I don't know why that interests me, but it turns out that he's like done a lot of stunt work, including a bunch of episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I feel like is a much more interesting thing than being in your third year of law school. But maybe they aren't allowed to say it because it's on a different network or something.
I recently started watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after quitting it the first when it started airing because it was bad at first.
It's a Is it a Marvel thing?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know much of that universe, but Brian Burkhardt is involved in it.
He kind of looks like the dude, one of the dudes. So he probably is that dude's stunt person.
Who's the dude?
I don't know. The dude with the hair.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nate falls very quickly on the TikTok, and that's it. It's over. The Towers of Power are out.
Goodbye. That sucks. That story was really sad, and they went through a lot to get here. So this kind of sucks that it's a sweep.
So we have the final matchup, the Golden Hearts versus Three Wishes. And first, we're going to have Thomas Stillings versus Grant McCartney. And this was a good race here. It's and there's a reason why this was the Mitsubishi drive of the night.
Oh, we had an early one. Literally did not even register with me.
Well, Grant pulls ahead on the pole grasper, but Stillings catches up by the time they do the salmon ladder. They're doing that at the same time. Stillings manages to dismount from the rumbling dice first, but they're neck and neck at the zigzag, but Stillings manages to pull it out. They're both exhausted.
Yeah, I like Akbar saying, this is where youth can come into play here, as if Grant McCartney is like an old man at the ripe old age of 29.
Stillings just looks so young.
I know. I guess Stillings, how old is he? Like 23, 24?
23.
Okay, well, it's a difference, but it just seems like I wouldn't think of Grant McCartney as like, you know, past his prime.
This guy in his late 20s, starting to lose it.
Yeah, his packages are going to start to be like Travis Rosen's, where it's like, he is old. Can you believe it? So old.
We then get a montage for the women, which like signals so clearly that this is going to be down to two relays. Like,
yeah,
there's no reason to montage the women unless there's a lot more headed your way.
That's not true. The women got montaged on that one episode, and I was upset about it because it didn't go to a second relay.
Well, but not that one. But like, at the very least, there's going to be one relay, right? They don't montage. This is the final matchup. There's only two races left, and one of them gets montaged. It's not gonna end at Neil Craver versus Brian Burkhardt.
Yeah, and also this is super anticlimactic and a little embarrassing for Natalie.
Yes, Duran pulls ahead at the warped wall, but cannot get up it. And Brittany manages to get up the warped wall. So Brittany takes this one. Natalie fails her three attempts.
Yeah, and she looks really like confused about it. More than anything. Yeah. She's like, how?
Yep. But luckily she's good at the pole grasper.
Yeah, luckily. She comes through as she needs to.
Yeah. Finally, we have Neil Craver versus Brian Burkhardt. And look, I think Brian was all set to win this one. Brian was, he pulls ahead of Neil at the pole grasper. He's ahead of Neil basically the entire race after that point. He's ahead of him on the rumbling dice. But as he goes to dismount, it pulls off the track. I've never seen this before with the rumbling dice. I imagine he had never seen it before and had no idea it was possible. But he is unable to dismount from the rumbling dice. And so Neil Craver is able to catch up and pull ahead and then take a win here to keep the Golden Hearts alive.
Yeah, this was so stupid. The dice comes off of the track, which I don't think is supposed to happen at all. But also, even if it like is possible, how could you possibly control that? Like, it was just his backswing just pulled it right off.
And they showed the replay and they were like, oh, he pulled a little too hard there. But they didn't show the part that came off the rail. And also, he wasn't even pulling. He was just swinging like he normally was. It definitely felt a little sketchy.
Yeah, this was fluky. And
yeah, this is like where I felt like right away I was like, well, you know, Three Wishes, they were supposed to win this one. They were supposed to sweep this. But you know, that's fine. They'll probably be able to win at least one of these relays. But then we have some more unfortunate circumstances there as well.
Well, I actually think that I would expect this show to think that Golden Hearts was going to win. I don't know that the show like wanted or expected this to go another way. It's just like, as this went on, I was like, yeah, I would really prefer Three Wishes win. They seem like a better team.
Yes, because Brian was very good and very fast at both the first part and the back, but especially the back half of the course. Both times he ran it, he was set to win, essentially. Mm-hmm. But due to different circumstances, each time he ended up losing. So they do this relay. The women started off, and then Stillings is going to go up against Grant for the second part, and then Neil versus Brian.
Why is Brian doing the rumbling dice again?
Well, because he dominated it the first time.
Seems like he would be traumatized.
The fluke of it falling off the track. And I think it turns out to be a great decision. But, something crazy happens. So then Duran manages to give Grant a huge lead on the pole grasper because Brittany has some trouble with it after Duran pulls ahead of her. And this is going to be the decision maker both times that they run the relay here. Grant just has a massive lead. Stillings tries to catch up, but again, that after the pole grasper, it takes like the same amount of time for any ninja to complete that part of the course. So then Neil has a huge lead over Brian for the back half. But Brian really just, he speeds through. He gets up the salmon ladder in two moves. He's speeding through the rumbling dice. He is basically like almost caught up to Neil after a massive portion of just being way behind because of that first leg of the race. But then on the zigzag, loses traction and injures his shoulder as he falls from the zigzag and gets tossed from the whole competition because he fell like in between the mats. Like, I don't think anyone expected people to fall there. And this was the moment I was like, wow, this is nuts. Like they just lost.
Yeah. Also, how do you not expect anyone to fall on any part of that zigzag climb? Like, I feel like you could easily lose traction and slip off anywhere there.
Yeah, that was clearly a very dangerous, like there was a clear gap like that somebody could fall into there. Like you can't spring for a bigger mat that doesn't have gaps there.
They don't have the budget.
So the Golden Hearts take this one and Brian is out, meaning their closer there that really could have won that heat for them. After like he lost traction, so get him some different shoes or something. He could have easily won this for them. Unfortunately, not going to be able to compete in the final relay. And they do switch up the running order. So Jeff Lancaster comes in to replace Brian Burkhart. And he's going to run the second leg, giving, Stillings the final leg. I have to assume they're not allowed to change the leg that Brittany runs. Otherwise, obviously they would have, because obviously the same thing is going to happen again. And it does.
Yeah. I also want to say, I know that there's no way around this, but it just feels so silly to have an alternate just be there for like whatever team needs one, and then he just like puts on the shirt of whichever team gets hurt first, because like it's Team Ninja Warrior, you know, they're supposed to like be on a team and have some sort of team mentality, but it's just like, we're just gonna throw this person in with whichever team. But obviously they have to do that, because it's not like every single team can have an alternate that's like the fourth member of their team.
Yeah, and I feel like the fix for this is make the course safer.
Yeah, listen, they've done better than with team. Like, we've had way fewer injuries on this than we've had on Team Ninja Warrior.
It's true. It's true.
Team Ninja Warrior was like, there was like barbed wire and fire on the sides of the course for some reason. Like, people would just get damaged left and right.
So Brittany falls behind Duran at the pole grasper again. She has trouble getting that dismount. It takes her way too long. Grant has another huge lead from Duran, and Stillings again at the back half really makes up a lot of ground on Neil, but just is not able to catch up enough to take the win. So Golden Hearts, they managed to pull this one out, and they will be moving on.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is, after last week, again, another team that I would not put money on in the finals. Mm-hmm. I feel like they got some lucky breaks here.
Yes, I agree. I think we got back to it's, you know, it's good that we're going to package these together because they were similar episodes. I feel like back to back, we got some luck of the draw stuff happening.
But hey, Lab Rats next week.
All right.
My good friend, Michelle Warnke, with the Wilczewski brothers. So yes. I'm excited to see them.
Yes, that'll be fun. That'll be very fun. Unless they get injured and somebody else beats them.
Yeah, but we've got, you know, Lauren Ball's team will be there too. We've got some people to root for.
All right, sounds good. We will be back at some point to talk about that episode. Don't worry, we'll have coverage when it comes.
Yeah, we're teaching you patience and respect and kindness.
Yes. Anything else, Lita?
I was on Dom and Colin this week with Dom and Mike Bloom to talk about The Simpsons, which is my favorite scripted show of all time. So you should check that out. There was a lot of love, a lot of quotes. So that should be coming out soon. And check out my updates on Wednesdays and sometimes other days for Big Brother.
There you go. Yes, check out all our Big Brother coverage and everything around that. Check out The Taran Show. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on robiswebsite.com. You can tweet at us. I'm at Armstrong Taran. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. You can also follow Lita on Instagram at Lita Grammed. I did an Instagram live with Rob from the airport.
Oh, Reno. You were on that? I got a push notification for that and was like, maybe I'll watch that later. But then I forgot.
He was showing me how it works and how you can just like bring people on. And I was like, wow, if Lita had told me that this is something you can do on Instagram, she would have had a better case.
My God. Okay. I have never done an Instagram live. You would have enough followers to do an Instagram live that people would care about. I don't. So it'd just be super thirsty for me to do an Instagram live. Like that would be ridiculous.
Okay.
So of course that didn't come to mind as like a feature of Instagram that I enjoy. I also don't even like love Instagram very much. I just think that it's something that you should have to keep in touch with the world around you.
Okay. So now you're backing off like, oh, well now, okay. So we'll remove the part where we tell people to follow Lita on Instagram.
No, you should follow me on Instagram.
She doesn't like it that much. It's not a huge priority for her.
Of all the social networks, obviously Twitter is my favorite. It's not like I'm like, oh my God, how can you not have an Instagram? I just think you should have an Instagram. It's fun. He's just giving me a mean look.
I'm not gonna have fun posting pictures of myself. Maybe I'll have fun talking to people, but
okay, then do that. We all have different interests and priorities in our social media.
You did not make a convincing argument.
Okay, it didn't occur to me. The only Instagram lives I watch are like John Mayer and Ariana Grande, and Ariana doesn't even do them very often.
Wow,
so it doesn't.
There you go.
It didn't come to mind. I'm sorry, but I'm glad that Rob has convinced you, and now you're an Instagram star.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you next time.